Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Do you know what it is to be desperate?
Maybe not like other parts of the world. I don't know that any of us in here knows what it is to starve. Although we say things like that when we come in from working or playing or whatever. It's like, I'm starved. We're not really starved. You know what's interesting is when we come in starved or we've worked outside and we've done hard labor in the yard or whatever it is and you're totally saturated with sweat and you're thirsty and you ever notice starved or thirsty or dying of thirst people? They lose their manners. Did you ever notice that? Desperate, thirsty, starving people lose manners. I watch it happen. My son is not starving. He's not dying of thirst. But I watch him when he's hungry. Silverware doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. It is, let me rip into this. And it's not even so much how it tastes. It's just, let's consume this. I'm just telling you, you know, the teenage life, it's about not always how it tastes. It's about consuming. Hungry. Thirsty. Starving. Desperate people lose their manners. Manners are a good thing. I understand that. But when manners take precedence and squelch what the Spirit is starving for, and it keeps our spiritual hunger at bay, manners and civility are out of place. A dying, desperate, thirsty man in a desert who is rescued, he is not going to wait for you to pour him a glass. He's going to take the pitcher and drink from the pitcher, which is a big no-no in our house. So don't think when you go in our fridge and you drink from the container that I don't know. God tells me. Oh, just a thought of that. But when a dying, thirsting man, he is not waiting for you to pour the glass. He is going to drink from the pitcher. I have got to allow desperation to overtake me. You and I have to allow the desperation within us to move us. Move us like a woman who doctors could not heal, who had an issue of blood. Desperation moved her through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. The desperation of a man hanging on the cross next to Jesus, whose life was about to expire. He was on a cross, dying the death of a criminal because he was a thief. A moment, his life was, breath was going to leave him for the last time. But out of desperation, he professed Christ because he had a realization, a revelation that Jesus was innocent yet dying the death of a criminal. This book is filled with desperate people. This book is filled with desperate people who understood something. They went through the cycles, but there are desperate people in here who began to understand that if God does not show up, I am cooked. If God doesn't show up, I am dead where I stand. You see, you and I have grown accustomed to something. And this is sad. You and I have grown accustomed to God. Well, maybe he showed up. Well, he showed up a little. Or he didn't show up at all. Well, you know what? No big deal. Because I'll just go on about life. And I've learned that life just carries on. Whether God shows up or I recognize him in a service, in a study, in my personal life. Whatever it is, life just goes on. And we grow accustomed to God being at a distance. And God is wanting to get close. When will the desperation rise in us that says, God, I want you, I need you, you must show up or I am a dead man. That kind of desperation and hunger and thirst. God, you must show up in my private prayer time that I set aside. I want you to show up. You must show up. You must speak to me. But we're used to going through emotion and running out the door and carrying on our life. Psalm chapter 6. Listen to David. Oh Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, for I'm faint. Oh Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is distressed. My soul is in anguish. How long, oh Lord? How long? Turn, oh Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he's dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping, with tears, and drench my couch with these tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. Here is a man who says, how long? I go about in this anguish, this inner turmoil. How long? Please! When is the last time I have cried out like that? When is the last time you have cried out like that? Out of desperation. Hungry, thirsty, desperate people moved by that kind of sincere faith, I want you to know they get their answer. They get their answer. God never turns away a broken, contrite heart, sincere spirit. Or can we just kind of feel God a little and go through our motions, go through our little gauge of whether we feel God showed up or not, and then just go right back into life? Where's the desperation that God must show up? Well, it doesn't matter if God really shows up this morning or not, because I got great plans the rest of today. Where is the vigor, the conviction of our spirit that God must show up? Where is it? I don't mean just in the services. I mean when we are alone. When I am alone. God, how much longer? How much more? Jacob became Israel. Do you remember his wrestling with the angel of the Lord through the night? Let me go, it is daybreak. I will not let you go until you bless me. Elisha looking for Elijah's anointing. I will not stay here. Wherever you go, I'm going with you. Why don't you stay here? No! I won't hear it. Whatever. I am going with you. On a search, on desperation, on hunger, on thirst. It wasn't just about being loud. It was about the state of a person's soul to press, to press, to push. It wasn't about a religious spirit anymore, about having manners. It wasn't about proper human protocol anymore. Oh, it was about submitting to God's, you know, authoritative principles in life. It wasn't about rebellion for rebellion's sake. But it was about a desperation and a conviction of soul. Those who are sick and dying, they don't need a religious prayer. They need someone who's desperate, who's hungry, who's thirsty, and who believes. That's what will change this world. My wife says, this is the generation. Let me in. I want to grow old and I want to mature. But I don't want the soulish disease that sometimes goes along with it. I don't want to be childish, but I want to be childlike. Because no one enters the kingdom of heaven unless they are like a child. You can argue it, you can fight it, but that's the words that Jesus said. We're so bent on not acting childish that we forgot to still be like a child. To believe like they believe. Oh God, have mercy on me and pour out your Spirit. God, one more time, once again, cause me, help me, stir me to be hungry, to be thirsty, to compel me from where I'm at to where I need to be. It's not about just how much you do or just how much you give. Those are good things. But are we going to follow him and be with him that we would know him? That kind of desperation. Not just a desperation to answer my prayer, but a desperation that you would let me get close to you, God. a thirsting. I want to know your presence, not just the blessing that comes. I love you for you. I love when my children still love me after I tell them no. Because they didn't just love me for what I gave them. They loved me because they loved me. Oh, that I could be compelled to such a desperation to love him because of him. The Apostle Paul wrote us that before we eat the bread and drink the cup of communion, that we're supposed to examine ourselves. Examine our heart. Not examine the person next to you. Not examine the preacher. Not examine the deacon. Not examine the spouse. Not sit there and go, well, I sure hope that you really convict them after what they did to me. As they sit here and think about communion. Oh, God, convict them. No. Examine yourself. Is there something between you and God that is not in order, not right, that you can come into agreement with him over and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, now help me. Help me. I want to die to me and I want Christ to live in me. Forgive me of my sin, God. I put my faith in Jesus Christ because he is the only way to go to the Father in heaven. So I'd like you to bow your head all over this room. And I'd like those who are serving communion to come, please. As your head is bowed, this is a moment where you're to examine yourself according to the instruction of Scripture. And maybe in light of this morning, the message, the word, what the Spirit seems to be bringing to us in the way of, you know what, maybe I need a little more desperation by choice in my spirit. A little more hunger, a little more thirst in my spirit for God himself and the things of God. That the busyness and the demands of this life don't swallow me up and choke out my faith without me even knowing it. Let you and I examine those things in our heart as we prepare for communion this morning.
Savior, precious Redeemer.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.